And welcome to the first ever episode of Come Strictly Dancing.
Come Strictly Dancing.
Come Strictly Dancing.
Come Strictly Dancing.
It doesn't trip off the tongue, does it, Joel?
Come Strictly Dancing. I don't know why they didn't call it. Because the original was called Come Dancing.
Yeah.
So if you're looking it up alphabetically, you'll look for... I still don't understand what Strictly is doing there as a word anyway, and surely no one under the age of about 40 remembers the film.
Come Dancing sounds like a medical accident. I don't think we should do.
But
and,
yes.
And what happened to her? Did she? Oh, my heavens above. However did that come to pass? Anyway, we're babbling already. I knew this would be a problem.
Come Strictly Dancing.
Welcome to Come Strictly Dancing. We'll find a cooler way to introduce that next week. I'm Julia Rayside. He is Joel Morris. Joel, welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Nice to be with you.
Thank God.
It's not really. I'm with you all the time. It's dreadful to be with you.
It's something to do at the weekend, isn't it?
How sad is this?
There was gardening needed doing, but we do this instead.
Yeah, no, literally, it's too cold. So we have to crack on. Obviously, there are 15 dances. It's a new series. Can you just take it as read that I'm off the charts excited? And I'm just so grateful that it's back, that my weekends suddenly have meaning again.
Yeah.
And I think you feel the same, right?
Yeah, it's necessary. The big build up to this release, especially because it was delayed slightly by the Queen's funeral.
Yes.
And there was a feeling of going... All right, it'll be nice for the nation to get together and say goodbye to someone who's been here for 70 years and has been a fixed point. But also, when is Strictly back? Because that does bring the nation together and it looks forward rather than looking backwards. I really missed... The delay was really weird. I really wanted it.
I know what you mean. It's the thing you could never say. Obviously, it's massively disrespectful. But having seen the opening of this new series, which obviously they'd pre-recorded, I now understand why. On a weekend of great solemnity, Claudia and Tess arriving on a feathered forklift... which actually turned me into a gay man, might not have been the right way to go about things.
It was a huge explosion of gayness straight away.
I love it.
Actually, I suppose as well, after a certain amount of solemnity, it felt even more. It was like jumping from the cold water bath into the hot water bath sauna or a spa. It was a real sort of wake-up shock reaction. I went, oh my God, I've forgotten this. And I was a bit slow to sort of be charmed, but I went... Oh, yeah, Strictly. And then slowly within minutes, I went, oh, yes, this is what I've wanted.
Yeah, no, it's like someone set my, sort of pressed my reset button. And it's like, okay, yes, that was sad and weird. And the nation was a bit crackers for a while. But we're back into the autumn routine of things now. And Strictly is that reliable tent peg. I need it.
It makes you feel happy. It makes you look forward to a wonderful possible. I mean, it is... It's the most bread and circuses thing ever.
Yeah.
And it makes you realise that when people say bread and circuses, they sort of, the implication is there's something wrong with that. And then you went, I like bread.
I
love circuses.
Actually, not the clowns, but as long as there are no clowns, I'm fine with the circus as well.
That's why they get voted out quite early on in Strictly.
Anyway, we have to begin. Let's start with couple number one. So first up, always a terrifying thing to have to start the show. So massive props to Kim and Graziano, who launched into their first jive. Again, a jive on week one. That is no small task.
Yeah, high energy opening.
So Kim Marsh is, I think she now presents that mid-morning show that I don't watch, but they do like all the Strictly professionals come and do like exercise workouts and stuff for pensioners. Is that insulting? But you know what I mean? Like chair exercises you can do if you have no legs. Or...
It is nice to find out what everyone you remember from what feels like about 2 years ago is now doing.
Yes,
because for me, Kim Marsh is still in Pop Stars.
For you, she's in Hearsay, and for me, she's in Coronation Street. But apparently, that was ages ago.
Yeah, it's nice to find out that while you were looking the other way, watching Better Call Saul or whatever stream you're actually watching on real television.
Yeah.
People have moved on, and she's now a three-time grandmother.
I know, it's the alternate timeline where there's the impossibility of someone who looks like that has three grandchildren.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so clearly she's been living at a bit different speed to the rest of us, and we can't really explain that, but there it is.
Turn around for 5 minutes, and that happens to Kim Marsh. God knows what, Suzanne Shaw is probably the world's oldest woman now. I imagine that Danny looks like Gillian Glover at the end of Last Crusade.
Just the face of Bo.
Yeah. What's happened to these people? They were pop stars 5 minutes ago, and now this has happened. But lovely to see her back.
It is lovely to see her back, and actually, I've liked her more as she's. I want to say aged. She hasn't really aged. She looks the same as she's become more mature. If we were all on TV when we were in our late teens, early twenties, we'd have been a bit of a pain. And she's grown into this really confident, beautiful woman.
She's very likable.
Incredibly likable.
A lot of time for Kim, though.
And so bang. bang, in she comes, her and Graziano doing a jive. They said it was a simple routine, and I sort of see what they mean in that, you know, anyone who comes on and does the kind of the complex jive on week one, I suspect them, I dislike them, off with them instantly. So it was a kind of nice, straightforward choreography. Immediately Craig was asked what he thought, and he said it was sluggish, and everyone went boo, and it was like, yay, best thing ever. And obviously they've got the full studio audience in now, so the boos are really loud.
That was lovely as well. Yeah. Just the feeling of I don't know, it's going to look really bad, but if you tune in, it won't happen with Strictly, but if you tune into like those repeats they do of panel games and things on Dave and things, the few years where everyone's miles apart and there's no audience,
so strange,
are going to start to look really weird.
They
and
are.
The reminder that the studio audience was back made you go, oh yes, we were in that bubble for a bit, weren't we?
Yeah.
And I loved the noise of the crowd and things.
Oh God,
made
me
it feel
too.
So exciting.
It sort of it beefed it all up a bit, didn't it? Although I noticed they've still kept the judges in those like floating judge-o pods.
Well, that's to stop them contaminating other, or of course having judge sex.
There must never be any kind of judge sex.
No, otherwise they will lay judge eggs and it'll be, the judge babies. It'll be terrible.
It's a dystopian future we all dread. Anyway, so the judges were mixed. They went from a 4 to a 7, literally, if you go down the row. Craig 4. Motsy and Shirley in the middle, 2 sixes, and Anton a 7. He got overexcited, but she was good. Her sense of rhythm was good. She looked really confident. It didn't look like a week one dance to me.
No, it was nice to have a Craig 4, though, because you went, oh, here he is. Because later on, Craig was going to behave eccentrically.
He loses his goddamn mind.
Yeah, but at the beginning, a nice Craig 4. Oh, good. Business as usual. The world is fine.
Okay, so we move on to couple number 2, who immediately, I think even the day they met in that pod on the London Eye, already came up with the best team name. They are Team Tie-Dye.
Tie-Dye.
So Tyler and Diane. Tyler, him off of Kiss FM. Obviously, I'm too old to have listened to Kiss FM, so I didn't recognise him, but immediately found him pleasing.
He is extremely
pleasing.
That's
okay to say.
Yes, he's young and attractive, and also the other thing...
He looks the part, for sure.
That great thing about the world of BBC, which is, BBC is still in this world, especially the world that Strictly's in, where everyone watches the BBC. So
yeah.
Someone from CBeebies comes on, you're supposed to know them if you don't have kids. They're famous. They're a Blue Peter presenter. They're a wildlife presenter. And weirdly, as soon as the BBC world of Strictly touches onto the commercial channels, and you go, this person probably has like 3 million listeners.
Oh, absolutely.
They're probably absolutely massive. But you go, I've never heard of them. Who are they?
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's
he's
a certainty.
Vic Hope or whoever. It's someone who's been on commercial radio. And if you haven't, it's the same. Everyone comes from their separate bubbles here. So the kind of the Nova Jones lady who comes from the TV, the children's TV bubble. And then there's, I don't know, is there a YouTuber TikTok of this time?
No, it's a bit more, it's not, they've not crossed over into that, but I think it's really interesting the way that you're assumed to, and people object to it, and they go, I've never heard of them. And you went, no, the point is, it's a family show. So there will be people there from all the different families corner, people who watch soap operas, people who are sports fans. There should be someone for everybody. And I like
Agreed.
The fact they bring on commercial radio DJs, and your dad rolls their eyes and goes, who's that? And you go, one of the most famous people in the country.
I know,
just
exactly,
not in your bubble.
Exactly. Okay, it's same with footballers, soap stars, everything. If you're not in that bubble, then who the heck are they? It doesn't matter. This show proves again and again that it does not matter who they are. You will love them like your own children by the end.
Yes.
If they're likeable enough. So Tyler and Diane, Team Tie-Dye, danced to a Harry Styles song, which of course I don't know because I'm not in the Harry Styles bubble. I've never heard. I've heard one Harry Styles song.
I've heard this one.
Okay, you heard that one, did
Seemed
you?
Seemed very good.
Oh, no, well, I've heard that one, so now
on
I've heard
Strictly.
Two. Yes. Sorry, what are we talking about?
It was on Strictly Come Dancing.
Okay. They did an American Smooth to Harry Styles. Not one of his songs, just to him. and Anton's response was extraordinary. Because obviously, Tyler's, you know, is a tall chap.
Yeah.
Diane is obviously petite and beautiful. But Anton, it was like Anton had just woken up from some meds or something. He's like, that lovely big chap, a slight lady.
It was great.
It was like a listless old Colonel waking up from his nap in the nursing home.
It was a lovely sense. And I love this fact. Anton's probably about, how old's Anton?
20, oh, he's only in his
26.
He's only in his 30s, isn't
but
he?
I love the way that, because his shtick is to have come from another time. He was trying to work out, what do we call a slim lady now?
I know.
Is she a lady of slim?
Oh,
and he couldn't work out. And what,
slight.
What he wanted to say was, with a dancer's physique, I suppose.
I know.
But it was lovely watching him struggle with it. And I find that's just charming.
He's constantly charming. It's that Alan Partridge thing of like, he's not deliberately trying to be reactionary. In fact, he's deliberately trying to keep up. Yeah. I think he's got a younger wife. That's why he's sort of got one foot in the modern age and one in the past. And he's terribly confused.
God,
and
it's like Goodnight, Sweetheart.
I know. Yes. Oh, my God. It is completely. Craig said the footwork was sloppy, but everyone had to agree that their angel lift, which is that big one where basically she goes up like a kind of red arrow.
Yeah.
And he sort of holds her above his head and twizzles around, was very ambitious for week one. And he did it pretty well. Although I thought she was kind of quite head heavy, and I thought she was going to hit the ground at any point. It was quite tense.
It was the moment of the thing. It was a good fluid dance. I really liked Diane. She's really, really fun, and she's fun to
she's
look at
brilliant.
Things. And she's a good choreographer and things. There was a sense of a long run up for that thing. I thought sort of the world held its breath for what seemed to be quite a long time before it happened. And then while it happened, I was going,
it seemed to go on for ages as well.
early on in Strictly, I don't want my heart rate like that. I want it to be just, I want them to. I miss the days where they used to just clomp around for weeks one
Me
and two.
Me too. Like, eases in. Like, as long as they're basically remembering the steps, that's all we need for week
remembering
one.
Remembering to turn up, put the clothes on, put some lippy on. That will do.
But that's enough.
They're being very ambitious.
Totally. So, obviously, Craig Four, that goes without saying. In fact, Craig Four, until he loses his mind later, it's just Craig Four's.
Until the pill kicks in.
Yeah, whatever that was this week. They've changed his meds. Motsy 5, Shirley 7. She really loved it, but that's because Tyler made a really big point of saying that she was his favourite judge from week one. Knowing it's really easy to make Shirley love you if you're a hot, fit man. And you say, Shirley, you're my favourite. Not like an auntie or mum, like my sexy favourite. It's like, okay, we see what you're doing. Clever guy. No, you know, give him his, fair enough, and give him his due. Anton gave them a 6. So a good mid-table, solid start. He could have potential. It's too early to say.
I think they're going to be fun to watch. I'm looking forward to seeing
Definitely. So next, the partnership, when it was announced, that I was most excited about. It's Jade and Karen with their Sambata Dirty by
dirty.
Christina Aguilera.
Dirty.
I don't know why it's in that accent,
dirty.
But it is. Dirty. If you give Dirty that many R's, it's Dirty.
Don't be dirty.
Don't be dirty. Where does that come from again?
Brian Laurie.
That's right. Don't be dirty. I wondered why that was stuck in my head. So Jade Adams, comedian, actress, she, I think, had this has been her life's plan to go on Strictly. She's made no secret of her desperation to do it. She was like a disco dancing champ in her teen years.
Yes.
That's a long time ago now, but she definitely has moves. And she said, because of kind of her stature and wanting to like not compromise her Strictly journey at all, years ago, she said if she ever got on it, she'd love to be with a woman so that she could do the lifts. She wants to throw someone around that dance floor.
Because she's 6'2".
She is, stature-wise, like one of the tallest, I think, women they've probably ever had on the show. And she just didn't want to have that thing of being like, well, look, you know, there's a lot of me, height-wise, width-wise. If that means we can't do lifts, then I'm not in for that. So just a kind of gender unimportant partnering, They just the two of them looked really good together. And there is something about her performance, if you've ever seen her do stand-up, which I have, she's brilliant. And if you've even been in a room with her, which we both have, because you know, we sort of know her vaguely, very vaguely. In a room, you can't not look at her.
Yeah.
She's one of those people. She has it, whatever it is. And so when she came out and performed this samba, and obviously another extra 10 points because she did the first Velcro costume rip of the series, which is, you know, never too early for one of those. She ripped off her boiler suit and then just hit the floor with this incredible kind of samba, the rhythm, everything was amazing. Craig said she was flat-footed and her vaulters desperately needed help, but her arms were really sharp. And Motsy picked up on it, like, she is contagious. When she started dancing, I don't think I looked at Karen. And Karen is like the one you always look at. She is Strictly.
I think that's one of the marks with this is very early on you go, well, am I going to enjoy watching these people? And the people I sort of put a big tick next to are ones where they've got a professional dance partner who is beautiful, professional, slick and amazing, acrobatic. Yeah. And I suddenly realised I wasn't watching them.
No.
Because your eye is naturally drawn towards the professionally sensational person.
The one that's making all the right shapes, you know, from day dot. Yeah,
if your eye is drawn to the other one and not in a way of going, oh my God, what are they doing? Then that person is going to be fantastic to watch.
And her confidence is just off the charts.
Yeah.
She, you know, obviously week one is definitely a week for, you know, some dancers making you feel more tense than others.
Yeah.
With her, it's like there is no question. Like, she's pretty much saying with her eyes straight away to the audience, I will not drop you. And you know she won't. She is such a performer.
She's got something from her old job, which she's a stand-up, but she's also a compere.
Yeah.
And your job is to go out on stage and say to the audience, don't worry, it's not going to be shit.
Yes.
And she's got that. She does it in her pre-chats. She's got that look in her eyes that says, I am very, very good at making a whole audience settle and know they're going to have fun.
Yeah. Everyone will unclench the minute I start doing my thing. Craig gave her a 4, which is to be expected. Motsy, I think just picking up on exactly what we were just saying, gave her a 7. And then the other 2 6s. I who knows who's going to win this year? Because I think it's a very, it's a different show. Like when Bill Bailey won, he was brilliant, but he wasn't necessarily the unarguably best dancer of that series. I don't know what it is we're voting for anymore, but I'm not entirely sure this is a dance contest and it might have ceased to matter.
We have shifted last year's final, where it was 2 people who were in for being good, but also for being representational, for saying something about us as a country, that we are accepting stuff, that the audience, the broader audience, a nice thing about tolerant... A nice thing about tolerant Britain, that we wanted different stuff and we want to see different stories and things.
Yeah.
What's interesting this year is that last year's the first, all the way through, same-sex couple who actually made it to the end.
Yeah.
And he went, oh, so this is now about romantic couples needn't be a boy-girl. This year, they're not romantic couples. It's just saying, let's watch people dance.
Exactly.
To the best of their ability. Let's stage it so they can do what they need to do. And it doesn't matter, brilliantly for Strictly, whether we think they're going to shag.
No.
And it's great, because that was always the problem with Strictly, it was all about who was going to shag.
I know. I really hope, and maybe we're being naive this year, but looking at the way they've partnered up the, behind the scenes notorious shaggers with people they possibly won't be that interested in shagging, it might actually just be about this year. And that could be actually a lot more edifying, a lot more interesting. Anyway, so Jade and Karen, I think, off to a blazing start. In the studio, they went down so well. Like, everyone went nuts for them. So I am extremely excited by their pairing. OK, moving on to another member of the Adams family. Obviously, we've got Jade Adams has just been there. Kay Adams is next. And Kay and Kai were paired up. And it was really sweet when they were paired up. Kay Adams made a point of thanking Mrs. Widdrington, Kai's mum, for doing a lovely job raising such a nice boy. Clearly just wanting to, I don't know, when, because obviously we made terrible jokes in previous series of not this podcast, but the other one, about Kai looking like he was about 46. And then 1 week he wished his dad a happy 50th birthday. And I nearly kind of passed out. I didn't realise he was so young. She's being paired with obviously a very young dancer. It's no mystery to know that probably Kay would have been paired with Anton in years gone past, because she is the ever so slightly older, incredibly glamorous, but ever so slightly older female contestant. So I think she wanted to kind of de-creepify the whole thing.
Though of course it is not creepy at all, because he's 56.
He is secretly 56, with a 50-year-old dad. Go figure. No idea how that works. Again, as we've worked out with Kim Marsh, time is no longer linear, and we live in a weird universe. An alternate one, I think, possibly. So she tangoed, which is, again, incredibly hard to do week one. So she adopted an alter ego, Fifi Latouche, to try, because, when you're not an actor and you're not a performer,
she was
trying to not be Kay Adams going stiffly around the floor with this like 12-year-old zygote doing sexy leg thrusts towards him. But tango, just impossibly hard, and you've got to be so crisp. And I just don't think it's fair to give someone a tango on a week one dance. But Motsy did say she had control and composure, but that her nerves took over. And Craig, this is where Craig's meds do start to kick in, because he said he really liked it and scored her higher than all the other judges.
Yeah, it was an odd one, because she was clearly so nervous. And this is one where you're starting with tango. Tango's all to do with performance and character and acting. And she's the one with no performance background. I mean, she's a TV presenter, but she's a journalist. She's one of those people who's not got dance.
No, she doesn't emote for a living.
Yeah, there are a bunch of people who have a necessary advantage in things like Strictly, which is people like sports people who've been trained and are good at putting their bodies places.
Although, their faces, obviously.
And there are people who are performers who might have been, as Molly was, Sylvia Young. They've had dance experience, or they've been in a musical or whatever, or they've been in a pop group.
But she's not.
And then you have people who are wildlife presenters and journalists, and you go, oh, I love it when someone from behind a desk. It's the Morecambe and Wise Angela Rippon bargain.
Angela Rippon's legs.
Yeah. This is entirely based on, which is, it's surprising to find out that Leonard Parkin can do backflips. Is how Strictly works.
That would be surprising.
And what was amazing about this was that she came out and all I could could see in her. I thought she was going to be stiff and disappointing because of how she looked nervous in the
Yeah. They didn't get her to do much in any of the VTs.
Yeah, and you thought, oh, this is going to be... But she came out, and all I could see was she was scared.
Yeah, me too.
And that made me excited because I thought, if she can get over being scared,
yeah,
and she's doing tango, which is all performance, and she's got no performance experience, this might be, fingers crossed, her at her worst.
Yeah,
and
let's
so therefore
hope so.
We get to watch her blossom, which would be really nice because she clearly looked frightened. There was a little bit of it, partly because Kai looks a bit like a tin soldier. It reminded me of that bit in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang with Dick Van Dyke and Trudy Scrumptious, where she's a rag doll and he's throwing her around, or she's throwing him around. It did look like someone who was throwing someone around who was either drugged or there against their will. stay still, and it won't know it's got you in its mouth. It was like an animal with a mouse in its mouth, a little bit Kai moving around.
No, it was, and anyone could understand her terror. She, of all of them, was the most humanly relatable because can any of us imagine tangoing on live television for however short a time, even with all the rehearsal? Like, when you really think about how much rehearsal they've done, I think Tony Adams later on, they mentioned he'd done 70 hours of rehearsal.
Oh my God.
But on that day, on that night, it just all falls away. And if the nerves hit you, you are screwed.
These people, I think, as well, some of the stiffer ones, not the comedy stiff, appallingly incompetent, embarrassing ones, but the people who just have in their eyes a look of going, what the hell am I doing
here? Yeah.
Really useful to remind you that this is really hard.
Yeah.
And to make you feel what, again, there but for the grace of God. If you asked me to go and do this, I would freeze.
Oh, I would be Kay Adams and I wouldn't look as good doing it as well. So props to her, but I think she does look in a shaky position after week one. Okay, so next we go with James and Amy. James, because again, the bubble of EastEnders is no longer familiar to me. I didn't know James. He seems like a very likeable chap. He's all big and tall. And Amy obviously is one of the most delightful dancers on Strictly. So they had a jive to do as well. Again, really, really hard on week one. And I think I wrote here that I was just really impressed.
Yeah.
But the judges, you know, when you see one dance and then the judges, because they're sort of literally almost hovering over looking at the feet, specifically the feet, they said he made loads of mistakes. But all that training and I love that montage, the training montage where she put kind of chairs either side of him to make him dance on the spot and stop traveling. He really did seem to do that. And Motsy noted he was quite compact and he kept it all nice and tight.
Can I just say, by the way, when they do those training montages, I'm a really big fan because I'm a BBC4 person. I like education. So I like to learn stuff. When they stop doing stuff about how important it is for their families to be there and they stop doing the journey stories and they do a thing that you'd never get on The X Factor, which is they tell you technically what the training
is. It's exciting.
Because it's a show about learning and teachers. And I thought there was a really nice bit with Jade and Karen where Karen was explaining the foot movements. And I went, I don't understand what you're saying.
I know.
I just want you to let me have a little glimpse of how you turned a non-dancer into a dancer. Show me the skills these teachers have got and how hard it is to learn.
Their expertise is what every contestant on that show, just, you know, when they're in that post-dance chat, they're all wild, you know, rabidly pointing at the person next to them going, it's them, they did this, I didn't do this. Because that expertise is what we're there to watch. Their expertise and then how it slowly, by osmosis, hopefully transfers into their partner. And more little bits like that. I really like the bit, was it last series, when John and Johannes did a tango and then Craig just did like a 30-second, it was always danced by two men traditionally and da-da-da. It's like, oh, good, yes,
it's
excellent.
Mystery.
More tidbits. Chuck them in. Don't be scared. Like, we won't put us off. It's exciting.
I like my big dumb television, but I like it when Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen explains on the history of Baroque architecture in the middle of changing rooms. I like that stuff. I like it where something goes a little bit, I don't know, Lucy Worsley goes a little bit.
It trusts the audience.
Entertaining but educational is really good.
Reithian, you mean.
Yes! More Reithian bits in the cutaways, because
like
I really like
them. Yeah, we need a Reithian klaxon for whenever something, some Reithian, I can't even say it. What am I trying to say?
When some Reithian values creep into Strictly Come Dancing,
when they
really
escape
good.
The entertainment vortex, it's exciting. Anyway, so James and Amy, a good solid start, 6, 2 5s and another 6. So Craig actually marked higher than both Motsy and Shirley, which is, again, slightly worrying.
There's an interesting thing here as well. Whenever a bloke comes on, a blokey bloke, whenever a blokey bloke comes on, because it is not a blokey bloke show, it is a very slightly camp, slightly
silly. Or it
silly
is,
family.
But you have to camp it up and let it overtake you.
When a blokey bloke comes on, I watch very carefully how they respond to it, and they get points if they don't pretend they're not into it.
Yeah.
If they don't bloke it up, they don't go, oh, it's a bit stupid. And he won loads of points for me. He plays a blokey part in EastEnders. He was lovely, really charming.
Yeah, he was.
And we're going to see Will Mellor do that. And I think it's really interesting to watch when people sort of let their guard down, especially the men.
Yes.
And I thought he was a big winner. I went, oh, I like you. Because yes. he was prepared to be to join him.
I know, exactly. You can't go in there half-cocked with Strictly. You have to leave your kind of shame at the door.
Yes.
And dance like no one's watching, even though millions of people are watching. Okay, so moving on to Richie and Giovanni. So this couple, again, initially, when it was announced, I was like, ooh, exciting, so great. Every VT with Richie in it is him looking like a real proper mover. He's got some hips going on. Yeah. He's definitely uninhibited physically, arms, legs, all over the place. I thought this is going to be really good. But actually, it turns out, certainly on week one, he had a cha-cha to I'm Your Man. And I think the kind of, rather than the nerves with Kay Adams, the excitement overtook him. And they said he wasn't listening to the music and his timing was making Anton's face twitch. It's like, yeah. He gave everything to it. And obviously, personality-wise, he has no worries. He will be beloved. But he does need to listen to the music. And I worry he might be too excited.
Yes, you compare his excitement to the excitement that Jade's got. And Jade's is very much to do with it saying, this is a dream come true. Oh my God, I'm a yellow coat. Miss Cathcart's
she literally is
she's
a yellow
so
coat.
Overexcited. And yet it's disciplined and her musicality means
oh,
she's
she
anchored
is
completely.
Ultimate pro.
And so the energy is really focused and it's like laser, yeah. Laser precise. Whereas his was, oh my God, I can't believe it. And he was like, he was running around like a kid full of Haribo at a party.
He was like really, really hepped up on E numbers, wasn't yeah. he? And yeah, Craig said he was stiff and spiky, but he was kind of like really watchable and he enjoyed it. But I think on the whole, my initial, oh my God, he's like definitely going to get to the final unless he can find some discipline and really listen to yeah. the teacher, listen to Giovanni,
and the
listen
music.
To the music. Crucially, and the music. Because obviously he loves the song as well. So yeah. it's like, just because you know the words doesn't mean you should be singing the song throughout the routine. You really should be thinking about your feet. But anyway, so yeah, Craig and Motsie 5, and then Shirley and Anton 6 and 7, respectively. I think the Anton 7 was kind. I think he was a bit all over the shop. So now we move on to one of my favourite dancers of the night, Helen and Gorka. So Helen Skelton, I just love her so much. She was Blue Peter. Then she did the, you know, she followed the Matt Baker path to Countryfile, the well-trodden muddy path to Countryfile. she is one of those, I mean, Blue Peter presenters anyway are extraordinary people. They are resilient and kind of say yes to things that the rest of us humans would never say yes to. And she's been kind of in the press a little bit, not by her own volition, because she had a rubbish time. Her marriage broke up this year. And she's clearly just doing Strictly because it's like, why not? Everything's yeah. gone a bit things up. Let's just go for it.
Everything's gone a bit tits and teeth up.
Well, I know, exactly.
Way to respond.
So she had, and she's with Gorka, who is wonderful, yeah. like an amazing teacher, an amazing dancer. Now famously in a sort of a long-term relationship with Gemma Atkinson, who was partnered with somebody else on her series of Strictly. And it was always in the press that he was like, go out with me, go out with me. And she made him wait till Strictly was finished, said, no, we're not doing that.
Right.
And they were both single. And then they got together. Now they've got a little guy. I follow them on Insta. I'm a real creep. anyway, so he's in a very happy relationship. She's obviously just come out of her a rubbish situation. And this is going to be like her redemption arc. So if you want a story, if you want a journey, Helen's is the one to follow, because she is clearly, judging by this American Smooth Foxtrot, naturally very talented.
Yes.
Her physicality, her musicality, everything is so well suited to dancing. And she does not think that highly of herself. And her journey is going to be one of confidence. And Gorka is going to build her up and build her up. And I was saying earlier to someone, my dream scenario is she gets to the final and it's like some kind of absolutely fuck you, like tango, where she stands like maybe one foot on Gorka's back, just like rose petals showering down and like glitter cannons going off. It's like, she's done it. She's won life, because she deserves to. And I think she was so likable, and everything about it, the styling, the chiffon cloud she was wearing, she barely seemed to touch the floor. The judges were really impressed with her and just told her to believe in herself. And I think I can't wait to see what she does.
She was an instant win for me. I not winning the series, but winning this episode. As in, I was watching it, enjoying it, and going, oh, that's my favourite. She came on and I went, oh, I didn't see that coming.
No.
I thought she'd be good because, again, Blue Peter presents, they're an elite lot. There's less than 40 of them or something.
Yeah.
And they've all got absolute, like, they are nails. They are hard.
They're not like the rest of us.
And the other thing is, they're told to do something and they go off and learn to do it.
Oh, yeah.
They don't say no. And you're right, they're complete yes and people. And she's joined in to do this, and she's I looked up ages and things. I was interested to see how partnerships were working.
Yeah.
And her and Ellie are 39,
yeah,
and this is their, oh, I'm gonna be 40, who am I reinvention series, which is going to be lovely.
Yeah,
you're gonna
watch
people go, she's had an awful hinge in her life,
yeah,
and I'm with you, I'm reading that all in there. But also, she was just really good. She's got a naturally
good
frame and a naturally good... She looks good. The two of them look good together. They're an immediately cute couple. Yeah. And I went, yeah, I'm in it for you. You're brilliant.
So into it. Well, the judges... I mean, Craig was cautious. He gave a 6. Motsi a 7. Shirley a 6. And Anton a 7. And I think, you know, and it's quite nice to start on a kind of very elegant ballroom. And obviously, you know, Latin's always a bit more challenging if you're kind of... Well, I don't know. We'll wait and see. She might be an all-rounder. But hopes are very high for those two, I think. Okay, now we move on to the bright young thing I haven't heard of and don't really care about yet, but I know from my past track record... I will go on to love her because it always happens. I always fall for this. Like, who is this random young person who just seems to be really good at dancing straight away with blonde hair all the way down to her bum? I don't care about her. And then by about episode 4, I'm like, I love her. I feel like her mother. I'm so proud. So Molly, who played Nova Jones, I think on children's TV, which is like a sort of a...
sci-fi pop star thing.
Yeah, exactly. She's been paired with new dancer Carlos. And they did a samba to, I don't know what the song's called, but it's You Can Kiss My, and then they don't say arse. It's that song.
That's good.
You can kiss my, not saying the rude word. Or maybe in another cut of the song, they do say ass. Yeah. I don't know.
Twat.
Yeah, I don't think they say that, Joel.
I don't know. The young people, what are they into? What are the rude words now? Who knows?
Well, judging by the sound of our child upstairs, they do swear quite a lot. Yeah. Anyway... So Motsi said this was her best dance of the night and she called her a shooting star and Craig said he couldn't wait to see more. And she did score very highly. But like I said, what her journey is, I've yet to see. She just seems to be, I don't know, I'm guessing stage school, very good.
She's Sylvia Young.
Very pro.
And you know she's got... I think there's a feeling with the younger stars when they come in and they've been doing something on TV that they've just come out of drama school or just come out of stage school or just done a musical or something like that. And you go, oh, they won't have forgotten the moves. There's something more fascinating when the people are older and you're thinking, well, maybe you did this when you were younger.
No, right.
You've got to be refreshed, got to get your confidence back. What she's got in terms of her journey is that she's just had a lovely starring role on CBBC. Mm. So she goes, her confidence is probably pretty high.
Yeah, she's not an underdog as such.
So you're not watching for that, but what you're watching for, I hope I like her. She seems very likable.
She does seem extremely likable. So the judges, they went in pretty high with scores. Craig's first 7 of the night, all the rest of them 8s. And she did one of those, you know, those flicky leg sambas where she's just like her bum's twizzling and everything seems to be. She looked kind of quite professional to me at times, but perhaps not as, you know, soft and fluid as like a real, you know, I've been doing this for years dancer. But she was kind of too good in a way that I think, you know, we'll see how she goes over the weeks. But at the moment, my heart has gone to other contestants, but I'm sure in time I will grow to weep over her successes and failures.
She probably would have felt different to you if she hadn't come straight after Helen.
I think that's the other thing as well.
Because you've got these sort of two sort of attractive, enthusiastic young people, youngish people who've got this
energy. They're all young to us, love.
Yeah, they're all young. But as in sort of go, someone, I associate Helen Skelton with being young and being a daredevil and things. She's not Kay Adams. And the two of them going together, you went, oh, one of those I've got a story with and one of them I haven't.
Yeah, I guess so. Yes, you're right. There's no contrast at the moment, but, well, there is a contrast rather. Anyway, we'll see how they go.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, so now on to Matt and Nadia, who had a quick step, which is so punishing for a first week. I know you've got to do something for your first week, but I did feel for some of the contestants, particularly him. So Matt Goss formerly of Bros. Very, very earnest man.
Singer-songwriter Matt Goss.
Oh my God, yes, of course he wouldn't even like.
He's not a pop star. He's singer-songwriter Matt Goss.
No, you know what? Yes, he is. Okay, yes. Fine. So let's take him at face value. He's obviously not shy of his past as a pop star, made that amazing documentary that was extremely popular and won lots of awards. But as was revealed in that documentary, he's an incredibly earnest man.
Yes.
He's lived in America for a long time. I think, you know, I'm pretty sure, did I hear something about him going out to the Joshua Tree and kind of staying alone in the wilderness for a bit, like he might be a religious sort of icon? And
anything, I mean, there's no irony. He missed Gen X completely. Everything is very, very sincere and very earnest. It sort of makes him, I think that's what everyone found so hilarious about the Bros documentary.
Yeah.
And yet it feels cruel to laugh at that earnestness because you go, well, okay, well, he takes himself seriously.
He really means it.
Yeah.
But anyways, they had to do a quick step to Sir Duke. He's partnered with Nadia this year, who I don't know what it is about her, but whenever she says she's proud of her partner and well done and so beautiful, nothing she says seems sincere. And that's just it's a combination of how she delivers lines and how I receive them. But I just feel like underneath her very thin veneer of like, I'm so happy to be here, she's really not happy to be there. And I don't know why that is.
Where does she want to be?
I don't know.
Somewhere else.
And I'm sure it's on telly. That's kind of exactly where she wants to be. But I just don't get the impression she's super comfortable in this partnership. I don't know. There was one moment where I think, you know, there was an exuberant kind of, they came in for a hug and she turned her face very much away from him in a kind of, in a very, no, Matt from Bros, no. but anyway, so his earnestness was sort of, I felt for him a bit, but I think maybe we'll grow to love that.
Maybe she liked Craig. She's a Craig Logan fan. Maybe she's annoyed.
Or
she's
Ken on drums. What was that guy on drums called?
Luke was on drums. Matt was lead vocals. And Ken, brackets,
Ken,
Craig.
That's why we always called him Ken. I think she probably was a Ken fan. Anyway, so they did this, I thought, kind of amazing. I know it was a little bit raggedy, but fast as F, quick step to Sir Duke, which is just like, I mean, ridiculously hard. Shirley said he's got all the swag, and you know when they keep going on about someone being stylish, you just think, oh, that's a bit mean. That's not nothing to do with their dancing.
Reviewing his hat, which was a stylish hat,
which he did not wear for the dance.
You know the hat as well, which appears to be CGI'd on. It's not doesn't quite sit
it doesn't
on the head.
Quite.
It's a little bit like the hat that Ross Abbott wore when he was being a Mountie.
I thought you were about to make the first reference of the series to Michael Flatley's Blackbird, which we should return to again and again.
It's not at a jaunty angle. It is flat on. It looks like it's been set by. It's like when you see like a beta test of a computer game and they haven't made the characters move realistically. They're all completely at angles to each other. So it's a hat that appears to have been added in post-production.
The hat stays level even when his head moves. It's very, very odd. Anyway, so not wearing the hat in this dance, so irrelevant in some way. Anton agreed with lots of the other judges that his frame was very loose and that they were kind of rattling around a bit together. And then there was this horrible moment where clearly Matt's like, I've just put my soul on the dance floor for you. I've given you everything. And he just said, what was good though then? Like, can you say something positive? Because like, I think I was sort of with, although I don't think the way he expressed it was super crowd winning. He did do this extraordinarily fast routine. He's not a dancer. And they were all just like, oh, you're a bit rattly up top. It's like, could you just say something nice? So then Anton did slightly resentfully say it was a great routine and your footwork wasn't bad. And da, da, da. And then Craig said he thought it was a great routine, actually. And you thought, oh, here we go. Craig's going to overrule all the other judges. Literally every single one of them gave them a 5, which I thought was really, really low.
I thought it was very mean. And also you felt, I mean, Matt was angry. There's a flash of proper anger there.
Yeah,
I think part of the
won't do him any favours.
Part of the earnestness is he is used to being good at things.
I know.
When he was in a pop group, he started with his brother. They went to number one. He's massive. He's used to that.
And then he had a Vegas residency, which is you're basically the star of the show.
He's very used to being taken seriously.
Yeah.
And the earnestness doesn't get questioned. I think he's used to being good at stuff. And the look on his face when he realised he was at the bottom of the table was actually quite heartbreaking. And I thought, you're not used to this.
No.
You will not be pleased. He was so delighted when someone slipped in underneath him. And I think psychologically, bit smutty.
But, Schadenfreude.
But yeah, when someone came in below him on the leaderboard, he was relieved because Matt Goss is not at the bottom of things.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a funny thing, which was, again, what was so charming about the documentary is that he is desperate to be taken seriously and was in a pop band who people might joke about and make the Ken joke about. And he goes, no, that's my band. This is me. This is me. I'm important.
I think the problem is he's now on Strictly. And if you take yourself too seriously on Strictly, you stick out like a sore thumb and the audience do not keep you in dance-offs.
That is the risk he's taking, is that you must not... You want to be excellent. You have to be competitive. They always ask this. But if you're competitive to a degree, that means you don't... muck in and aren't prepared to dress as Kermit or a lobster, then
can you imagine him on, like, you know, musicals week or movies week or even no Halloween week. I mean, if he makes it that far, the idea that he'll be demanding to be like a sexy vampire, he won't want to do anything stupid.
He's certainly like in Community when Jeff Winger goes to the Halloween ball, he's as a sexy cowboy. He's got the outfit, but only the one that keeps him looking
yes,
sexy.
Yes, of course.
He's that character. And actually, that character in a sitcom is really funny because the vanity is hilarious. But I feel for him. I ache for him a little bit because of how seriously he takes himself.
He's going to need to loosen the F up.
Yep.
Maybe, I don't know.
But he didn't deserve fives.
No, I also agree. Like those two, the two things. Yeah, wasn't the greatest first show for him. But I think he'll have the opportunity to shine and do better next week. Okay, so now we move to our sports person, Ellie. Ellie Simmons, the swimmer, what has five gold medals? Five.
Yes.
And she was doing a cha-cha kind of in and on a swimming pool, kind of like Jesus. She walked on the water. It was lovely. And she was, to my great relief, a sports person who can act.
Yes.
huge sigh of relief. Whenever they get, I mean, a sports person, I mean, of course, they're elite athletes. You don't expect them to be good at that too. But she kind of was, and she looked really comfortable out there. There's that move when you're wearing one of the tassly kind of cha-cha, you know, Latin dresses, where you've kind of got your hands up over your head and then you kind of make the shape of your own body, like you're saying, sexy lady, as you're doing it. And she did that in a way that I've seen a lot of people do on week one, and it's just like, oh, you'd rather be dead than doing this. And she did look really comfortable.
She sold herself really well. There's a reason.
She had to look up sass in the dictionary, which is amazing. And she did have sass. Yeah,
but she'd done it. I thought what was amazing about this is you're wondering how she's going to dance, how they're going to partner up, how it's going to work.
Yeah.
And the great thing about it is you went, oh, I am completely sold. I completely get this. I don't know why I was worried about this. Because there's a double worry about she's got dwarfism and she is a sports person, both of which might count against her doing sass and things. The great thing about it is that you went, all those doubts have gone out. She was brilliant at it. And you realised why. Why have you heard of Ellie Simmons? Why do you recognise her? She's not just a sports person. She's got, the camera really likes her.
Oh, the camera adores
her.
She was on Blankety Blank straight afterwards. Yeah. And obviously not Strictlified, just sort of looking like a pretty young girl. Yeah. And she shone, like the camera does completely go to her face. She's great.
She knows how to put her personality out through her eyes and through her smile and through the way she talks. She's really charming. And I went, oh, that's going to be great to watch.
She can perform. Phew wee. We're not going to be watching like a sports person getting everything exactly right and somehow not being very lovable. And they talked about, you know, she talked about in her opening VT about like she's got dwarfism. So her body and her limbs didn't grow the way they normally would, and the only time you really notice it is in hold, where obviously Nikita's got to kind of like just change his frame to accommodate. But I think her timing was amazing and her performance was amazing, and the judges agreed. So 6 from Craig, 2 sevens from Motsi and Shirley, and a 6 from Anton. I think that's a nice mid-table, good, solid start. And I think, and again, to start, I hate it when the women have to start with a Latin, because I just think, you're up, like, can you let them at least get drunk first or something? Like, give them a couple of cocktails. Like, it's so unfair. But she really showed some amazing promise. So good start for
Ellie.
There
was something so astonishingly affirmative about how unselfconscious that dance was. It was one you went, oh, you deserve to be here. And I thought that was a win. She, and in a funny sort of way, she's winning already, and she's gonna last, I think.
So now we move on to Tony and Katja, who danced a tango to Go West, which I thought was by the Pet Shop Boys, and so did he, but apparently it's not. It's by someone else.
It's by the Village People, covered by
the Pet
Shop Boys.
Oh, that's right. Okay, fair enough then. Great song either way. He arrived. This is so unfortunate. He arrived because he's a Gooner?
He is a former Gooner.
And I know from living not far from the Gooner's ground that the cannon is a symbol of the arsenal.
Yes.
Obviously. So he comes from Deus Ex Machina on a golden cannon from the flies in. And I said earlier, when you get flown in on a large prop, you know you're the Widdicombe.
He very much was the Widdicombe.
He's very much the Widdicombe. But that's okay, because he seems really likable and definitely like instantly became dad of the group. It was obvious everyone kind of likes him, and he's got a lovely kind of quite laid back presence. obviously then belied by in the post-match analysis where it was revealed he did 70 hours of training.
It's amazing.
70 hours. So I would say if that's 70 hours worth of training, and he didn't seem that nervous. He seemed like really concentrating, trying to count all the steps because of tango, again, yeah. Really, really hard. But he just looked like he was made of tin. He had just no fluidity in his movement at all.
It's really strange the way he moves. I think the way he moves generally, it's like he's being operated either from below or above. It's a little bit like those dolls.
And you press the bottom and they collapse.
A little bit like one of those things outside an American car dealership that's operated by air from below and waves its arms in the air. And a bit like a sort of a Czechoslovakian animation. There's something, he's being either operated by strings or pressure or air pressure. He's pneumatic. It looks like a sort of malfunctioning amusement park ride mannequin.
Everyone else is real and he's like Aardman stop motion?
Yeah, I think they're doing their best to animate him in time to the music, but it's quite a challenge.
And you think
for
the hours that must have gone into doing that.
Their wrists must be really sore, but he's not quite real. I can't work out, because it's not, he doesn't move like that when he's dancing. He moves like that normally. It's like he's a bit...
His physicality gave it away from the beginning. Yeah,
and very gawky. And it's like, it's sort of they're trying to make a giraffe join in and it's just difficult.
But he seems like a really nice man. So Craig said, obviously, his arse was way, way out the whole time. Motsy and Shirley were saying things like, don't give up. And it's clear you work so hard and you've got potential.
It's so early to say don't give up.
It's like, give him another chance. Like, he's barely put a foot on the dance
floor. He's still on the cannon. Don't give up.
I think, in the spirit of week one, and obviously nobody goes home and no one goes to live on a farm and it's all lovely. Of course he shouldn't give up. But next week he should give up.
He should definitely give up. He should give up.
And that's okay because, there's no shame. He tried really hard. I have a feeling because he's so likable and he seems like a really nice dude that he might be kept in longer than he needs to be. Not like towards the end.
You think a bit of an Ed Balls might get
a couple of good people might go because they're not as lovely as him before him. Anyway, so 70 hours of training, Craig gave him a 3. Everyone else gave him a 4. I personally, and I'm not a trained dance professional.
If any of you thought I was,
I should really put that out front. I don't think he has potential. I think next week he's absolutely
that's
going
probably
home.
It. There was a, can I make the point as well? And it is a dangerous thing to play with. We talked about sort of laddism and blokeism and where that fits in. Who from the family is welcome in the Strictly show, which is for all the family? And weirdly, it's not a very blokey show and the blokes do badly.
Mm-hmm.
Gabby Hutchinson Crouch on Twitter said, the injection of hetero dad culture was very unwelcome when they started doing a football chant and it felt so wrong.
Actually, that was really weird.
Oh, I hadn't noticed that that's not in that in all the great ingredients that go to make Strictly work, the music and everything. I went, oh, there's never anything where a bunch of football boys go, oi, oi.
1-0 to the Arsenal. No.
And I kind of went, oh, that's why I like this show is because it has zero of that.
It's my safe place where there's nobody shouting.
That will never happen.
Boomy voice. No, exactly.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a shocker that.
And in terms of criticism, obviously keeping in theme of the 1-0 to the Arsenal dance, when he's finished, what was thrown on stage? A load of balls.
A load of balls.
Okay, now we come to the suddenly everyone's sitting up and paying attention and hormones are suddenly, levels of hormones are shooting up all over the country. Will and Nancy were next. So Will Meller, who was in 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps and presumably loads of stuff since then, because that was ages ago. He's partnered up with Nancy, one of my new favourite professionals. I just think she is glorious and comes across so well on camera. She doesn't sort of like try to dominate or anything, but I think her personality just seems to be, it leaks out beautifully and she seems like a really cool chick. They did a jive to Living La Vida Loca by Ricky Martin. And again, in all of the VTs and stuff, there was no real hint that he was going to be anything other than a nice dad energy. He'd come and give it a bloody good go. And he starts off on this podium or, at the back of the stage, jumps down and is just suddenly all undulating hips, rippling muscles, and just looks like a pro Latin dancer.
He was brilliant.
Jaw on the floor, absolutely amazing. I was saying, I literally, because now I have to kind of wear glasses to write notes, then take glasses off to look at the TV, which is, as you can imagine, quite difficult for me. When his dance started, I literally did Jurassic Park and slowly took off my glasses to kind of fully appreciate what the hell I was seeing. It was quite the moment. It was he genuinely did make me stop in my tracks. Motsy and Shirley, I think pretty much for the whole dance, if not right at the very end, were kind of both standing up, both arms aloft, kind of like, we're your fans, we love you, we'll follow you anywhere, we love you. It which was like,
it was
too.
An incredible look, because Motsy this week looked like she was part of the trade delegation from Naboo. She's in sort of full Star Wars.
And she's also, blued up, pretty blued up.
Yes, as well, she was in one colour like the Queen.
Yes,
she
absolutely.
Was trying to replace the Queen in our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah, so she had this like giant sort of blue plait down the side of her face, which blended into her dress. And
amazing.
Every time I sort of looked up with my glasses still on, so I couldn't quite see the TV, I thought she was just in a hoodie.
Very casual.
You know, she did look sort of amazing. Yeah, but back to Will. Obviously, that was some week one dance. It managed to be both a total surprise to us and to him. It didn't seem to quite sink in with him that he was amazing.
Yes.
He was just quietly confident. He did own that dance floor. Although Craig did say there was a lack of retraction in his, you know, the jive sort of flicks and kicks.
Week one, mate.
I know. He said he did obviously then very quickly move on to say he loved it. And that's how he pronounced it. And I just think the betting on him is going to go absolutely batshit this week. He got an 8 from Craig, a 9 from Motsy, an 8 from Shirley, and another 9 from Anton. Nancy was like really crying.
Really lovely.
I think she just couldn't believe what he'd pulled out on the night, you know. And so, as we've seen with other people, like your nerves can kick in, doesn't matter how much work you've done. That guy, he pulled a Kelvin, basically. Humble, unassuming, northern lad comes on and just majorly kills it.
And what's even more amazing is that because Tony Adams had 70 hours of training, Will Mellor, half an hour.
Half an hour.
Half an hour. That's why Nancy was crying, because she couldn't believe what
he
pulled off.
She was like, he got lost. He couldn't find the change until
half
yesterday.
An hour.
No, he was absolutely. That's textbook how you are both brilliant, but not too brilliant.
Yeah.
But unassuming, but incredibly confident. I don't know how he's doing
it. He's aced that.
I just think obviously now everyone's wanging on about him being the winner already. No, we can't tell that. That's not possible to know. He could plateau, he could dive next week. It doesn't really matter. What an opening. And also, he just seems like the nicest guy.
Exactly. He's the dream Strictly contestant. Perfect.
Okay, and then the dream continues, actually, because next we have Ellie and Johannes.
Yay.
And I've always liked her anyway. She wrote a really funny book about being like the boredom and tedium and awfulness and madness of being a first-time mum, which is really funny. And I can't remember what it's called, but you should check it out. It's really, really good. Anyway, and her stand-up comedy is great. And I think she's in Ted Lasso, which we both haven't seen.
Yeah,
but
she's
in that.
MASH and things like that. I bumped into her once in a reception of a comedy production office, and she was instantly friendly, lovely, sat down, we nattered, and had a sandwich. And
yeah.
I always thought, very approachable, very nice.
So you're in love with her, right? Good. We've got
good.
That.
That's easy, isn't it?
No, she does. She seems like a total dude. And she did, not too much, but quite a lot throughout the kind of the, you know, pre-publicity for the show. She's like, I'm arms, I'm legs, I'm totally unco. Like, please don't expect anything. I don't think I can do this. And then she did a quick step, again, impossibly difficult dance to I Am What I Am. They styled her like Mrs. Maisel, that kind of that streaming series, which is like a stand-up comedy thing about a woman who becomes stand-up in like the 50s in New York.
I thought it was a nice nod as well, because they went, okay, this is something that maybe the production crew know and a few viewers will know. But they went, this is a cool look.
And she looked, if I can just be shallow and a girl for a minute, like that dress, the gloves, the hair, she looked fantastic.
That went into her duffel bag on the way out, didn't it?
Oh my God, there's no way I'd give that dress back. Like, not an effing chance. She looked absolutely beautiful. But let's not talk about her star, because that suggests she's got nothing else to offer. She looked shocked. All the judges were talking about how light and fun and divine, and the footwear was amazing, and she was beautiful, but the dance was beautiful. Her mouth just kind of gaped open. She didn't understand that they were talking about her and that what she'd just done, she'd really pulled it off. And Johannes was remarkably quiet as well.
Yeah.
I think if I'd been him, I'd have just been sort of like, you know, humping the floor in delight that she pulled off such an amazing sort of first routine. And then they start giving out the scores. So Craig gives her a 6, which I think was stingy as fuck. Motsy a 7, Shirley a 7, then Anton an 8, which I entirely agree with. And as every score comes out, she's just screaming her head off. I think it's finally hit home that one, she's on Strictly, she's woken up, she's here. And two, she's getting quite good scores for week one. In fact, very good scores for week one.
It's a real asset for her is that I think because what her clown is that she's got this very, very expressive face.
Yes.
Big eyes, big teeth. And actually, that's that brilliant thing where all the reactions just go straight through, they're mainline through, and that's really good telly.
It's lovely to watch because you don't feel like there's much of a filter.
Yeah.
Not in a kind of, oh no, too much way, but like, it's lovely. She just feels things and then kind of reacts.
Yeah.
And you feel very, she's a very open person, a lovely open face, and turns out bloody good dancer and all.
Great.
So can't wait to see what she does next. Okay, next we move on to Hamza, who is, again, he might as well be a Blue Peter presenter for the impressiveness
just
of his CV.
Brilliant.
So the guy is like, he lives somewhere on the west coast of Scotland. He's like showing Jovita, his partner. Is she new this year? I think she maybe arrived last year, but this is her first pro partner, or her first celeb partner. And he's showing her like slide footage of like some of his adventures in wildlife cameramanning. And it's like, oh yeah, it was minus 42 that day. You can see my eyelashes are kind of turning to ice and falling off
my
face.
What was his story that when he heard he got the job, he had to tell a polar bear because that was the only person who was around.
He was in the Arctic on a sat phone and his agent was just like, and managed to get a message to him saying, you're on Strictly Don't Tell Anyone. It was like, I'm going to tell a polar bear.
I mean, he's someone who in a lot of ways could be animated by Aardman. He literally is a children's TV, not a presenter, but a children's TV character. You immediately, again, our kid's too old to watch children's television. He turned up on television and went, I've seen all your shows. I know you.
Oh.
He's a very, very good traditional. He's a wildlife cameraman and conservationist and does a show where he plays Ranger Hamza. He's just, you go, oh, I love you. You're lovely.
Already, you know, outward appearances all, he's a good guy. And then he comes out and he dances. Yeah. And you're like, oh, that's unusual. We must be nearly at the end now. Why have they saved until the end? Oh, that's why they saved until the end. Because he's so good. So Foxtrot to Islands in the Stream. So it's a beautiful start for, you know, lots of dancers would really appreciate the chance to do something a bit slow and dreamy and kind of beautiful. There's lots of spinning involved of his hair. He's got like the longest dreadlocks I've ever seen. And when the spins start, it's like, he's going to take off.
He looked like a jolly predator, didn't he?
If the Predator was like a lovely, lovely, lovely chap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, oddly, you look at him and think he might be prey, but no, he was the way he was moving. And there's a lovely thing about it suddenly gave him an extra thing, like having a long scarf or having a big dress.
And they've
done it. They said, oh, well, we can use your hair to be part of the performance.
And they're going to have to choreograph his hair because there's so much of it. There's no way they can just, I mean, I guess he said sometimes at work he wears a hair net.
Yes.
Just to get it the heck out of the way if you're in difficult situations or whatever. It's going to be really interesting to see how every week the choreography is going to have to either take into consideration the fact that he has the most lethal hair whip on the planet, or they're going to have to like somehow like sellotape it to his head.
But it gives motion to the thing. It reminded me of something I always used to say about why superheroes wear capes. And superheroes wear capes not because superheroes would wear capes. It's to show you a line of movement in a comic.
It's
a pen line to show whiz where they've been.
Yeah.
And he's got that thing where as he's moving around, there's a lovely sort of vapor trail behind him.
Yeah, it accents him beautifully.
Very good.
It looked, there's something so magical about it. So he turns out is really, really good at dancing. Also, Jovita, I don't think I've really watched her properly before. There's something utterly joyful about her.
Yeah.
I might even go as far as to say she's the new OT because I've been really missing like the lovely kind of like up energy of OT Mabuse since she left. And there's something absolutely delightful. Like I was watching him a lot, but I was watching her too, because there's something in her face that just says, I'm going to take you somewhere lovely, like come with me. I think she's an extraordinary performer. So the two of them together just cast a spell over the dance floor. And Anton also commented, when you're a man going backwards in a ballroom dance, you absolutely can't lower your heel. And obviously, week one, we're not looking for stuff like that. And he didn't. Hamza didn't lower his heel when he was going backwards. So he's already naturally, or just by sheer hard work, remembering technique really well. So, I mean, extremely exciting to somebody who literally was just like, I didn't know who he was about 2 weeks ago, is now turning out to be one of the favourites. They're already talking about him dangerously as though he might get to the final.
He appears to be that lovely thing, multi-talented.
Yeah.
And it's a lovely thing to watch, because what you're watching with Strictly, the whole point is people who you knew could do X or Y or have just been told can do X or Y, find out they can do Z. You're an amazing swimmer. How amazing a dancer are you? You're a wildlife cameraman and you appear to be able to do this. That's brilliant.
It's incredible. As Craig said so succinctly, who knew, darling? And so finally we get to the end of the show, 15 dances later, and we finish with Fleur East, former X Factor runner-up, I want to say.
She came second to Hey Now.
Oh, thank you. Second to what?
Whatever his name was, Ben Hey Now.
What Hank from Larry Sanders? Yeah. What?
I hear that brilliant name. Ben Haynow? Something Haynow.
Who wow, came, you're first. Good.
2014. I looked them up while I'm watching it. I don't do my research.
I thought you had that in the amazing world that is your brain. So anyway, Flirt East, who we have a little bit of an investment in because we live in her hometown of Walthamstow, North East London. And she filmed her intro video on our high street and we all lost our minds because we didn't know she was just up there with
She's standing by Greggs.
It was mental. And then halfway on her walk up the high street, she's like, hello, auntie. And she bumps into one of her relatives. Like, so authentic, Flirt.
It's lovely.
But she's kind of a lovely energy and obviously we kind of, she comes pre-loved in our house anyway. And she was dancing to Get Loud. She was doing a cha-cha-cha. Vito, her partner, is obviously an unknown quantity apart from he's won 11 times the Italian championship. It's 11 times that he's won the Italian championship. Anyway, he's very, very good, let's face it. She came out like a stick of dynamite, just exploded onto the dance floor and just seems to be made of like power and springs and energy. One of those people you do close the show with because you know she's going to perform. And she's not obviously a trained dancer in any other respect that she can move to songs. Like when she was performing songs, they were always very upbeat dance. She did that cover of Uptown Funk. She's definitely a mover, but this is a whole different thing. And I think what we got with her, I expected her to be the best dancer of the night. I don't know why, I just think I've seen her move, so I know she's great.
As I realised she was going later and later and later in the running order, I thought, she's your banker.
They're going to sort of finish it with basically two pros, not one pro and one celebrity. Yeah. But actually, I think this is going to work in her favour. She wasn't perfect. She was wild. Craig said, you were wild and you're a fantastic dancer. And then they all agreed, we need to refine this.
Like, right,
you've
brilliant.
Got basically the exciting thing. You've got raw talent, you've got attack, and you've got confidence, and the show personship is not an issue. But what you don't have is any technique, and you don't know what to do with all the power you've got. And they're sort of like, I think it's like from Harry Potter, but it's gone. But like, you have great power, Harry, but you need to harness it. You can't just like go whipping your wand about. You need to know what to do with
it. They've got to sort of tame a sort of a stallion. There's a sort of the energy is so big and she's so good at that.
Yeah.
To imagine her doing a really disciplined or really precise dance, you go, that'll be the journey you
but
follow.
But how exciting is that going to be, though? Because to see someone go from week one, like I can imagine her getting quite far into the competition or even all the way to the end. And then when they have to choose what dances they're going to do again, I predict the future. The judges will say, go back and do your cha-cha from week one because now you're a dancer.
Yes.
And that is going to be so exciting.
You're looking for journeys. You don't want someone to arrive fully finished and you don't want someone to come out and be hopeless and you feel they can't improve.
Oh, yeah. If we've learned anything by now, it's that the journey.
Journey. But it's about everything. Teaching. It's about teaching and learning. It's a programme on television about teaching and learning and that's all it is.
Yeah. Look and read. No. Yeah. Teach and learn. So Flirt and Vito got 3 7s and then Anton gave them an 8. I think they're going places and definitely are going to be ones to watch. So that's it. We've done it. The marathon. 15 dances, 15 bubbling cauldrons of potential. If you don't count Tony Adams, it's 14. And maybe Kay Adams, that's 13. Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Cauldrons. That's plenty of cauldrons.
But what an opening show. I needed it.
Yes.
And now I feel whole again.
Phew.
Thank God. Obviously, next week we start eliminating people. That's going to be like kicking puppies or stamping on cute little babies, ducklings' faces. Like, it's going to be awful.
It's going to be brutal.
There's no one I don't like.
Yeah.
And my heart kind of goes out to pretty much all of them. So, I'm hoping it won't be too brutal next week, but I am looking forward to it. Yes. Does that make me cruel? Does that make me a cold woman?
Do you just like the process?
I always say that the first week is kind of my ideal because no one goes home. But I know we have to start putting pillows over their faces next week and there's no choice in the matter. So.
You are aware of the system. If no one went home, it would literally go on forever.
And also the show is too long. 15 dances is too many.
It'll be like they shoot horses, don't they? And it'll just be this dance marathon. They'd all be really tired. They'd be crying. They'd have blood in their shoes. I don't want to see that. That's not a feel-good Saturday night show.
No.
I don't want that. I do think that by sending the people home, this is my controversial thing, the show will work and there will eventually be a champion.
Do you think that's what will happen if we just let nature take its course?
Exclusive. Yeah. I think just relax, don't worry, Going home is part of the process.
Okay, cool. Then can I see you here same time, same place next week?
I'm not going anywhere else.
Yes. Now, thank you, obviously, for joining us. If you used to listen to me waffle on about Strictly, then welcome back. And if you're new, it's really nice to have you along. We're on Twitter at Curse of Strictly. Come and say hello. Tell us what you think of the opening show. And yeah, we'll be here next week. Never sure of an exact time, but we'll turn up unfadingly like gum on your shoe. You can never get rid of us now, like gum on your shoe. Yep. And in the meantime, don't stop dancing.